This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center doing a fabulous job every single day, so we always appreciate that. He is our producer in the next room. In the studio with us, and now we're glad to say we got what some people are calling the new doc over at Evangelical Community Hospital. John Gabrielson is here. He is a surgeon, a bariatric, and foregut specialist. So we're going to catch a new word today. But he's working at the Bariatric Center at Evangelical, which is part of Evangelical Community Hospital in Lewisburg. Dr. Gabrielson, thank you so much for coming in.
No, thanks for having me, Mark. I appreciate it.
Oh, I really do appreciate it. I think this has just got to be brought up and talked about, and just really bariatric surgery, and there's a new guidance out today from pediatrics on children, so we can just mention that really briefly, but weight loss is like the obsessive topic of the century around here, am I right?
Well, yeah, it's a big problem in Central Pennsylvania. It's a big problem all over the country. If you look at the map of obesity over the kind of the heat map of obesity over the last several decades, it's just gotten more and more red and pretty much overtaken the entire country.
Well, and you just touched on something I heard about recently, this idea that your body type and having a larger BMI has less to do with what you eat, but more about where you live.
Yeah, there's definitely some socioeconomic pieces to the puzzle. You know, what kind of foods you have access to, what kind of foods you can afford, those types of things. We tend to eat a lot of processed food in this country, whether you can afford it or not. It's just kind of it's just what's handy. And a processed food is stripped of its nutrients. It's stripped of the fiber that's important to us. It's full of added sugars, high fructose corn syrup, a lot of things that are really detrimental to our health and to our weight.
All right. Well, I think we can dig into some of these differences in food types are, why the Mediterranean diet gets talked about at all. So maybe we can mention that. Tell us about yourself. You started in August at Evangelical Community Hospital, Bariatric Center for Evangelical. We saw you working with Dr. Still for years and years. So tell us about your background a little bit.
Well, sure. Thanks. I'm from Indiana, not Indiana, Pennsylvania, but Indiana, the state. I went to medical school at Indiana University. I did my general surgery training in Des Moines, Iowa, at Iowa Methodist Medical Center. And then I was actually in practice with my dad and my brother, who are both general surgeons, for 4 years, which was fantastic. And at a hospital not too different from Evangelical. And I was director of the Reflux and Swallowing Disorders Center there. And then I came to Geisinger and I did a fellowship in basically bariatric and foregut surgery. Foregut just is the medical term for the esophagus, stomach, small intestine. Basically, the upper gastrointestinal tract is where I spent most of my time for the last 15 years then doing weight loss surgery and foregut surgery predominantly. And then I started at Evangelical in August.
And as a foregut, now this is a new word for us, but you explained it nicely. That's sort of that, as the name implies, fore meaning the sort of the upper or front, and then, but all associated with digestive issues and things along that. What are you finding in our digestive issues? I mean, we hear about reflux around here. We've done conversations with Evan docs about that. And of course, weight loss and behaviors and things like that come up to the top.
Sure. So the reflux is a big issue that I've spent a lot of time dealing with, and hiatal hernias is one of the causes of reflux, but also what are called paraesophageal hernias, which are a big type of hiatal hernia, where you wind up with a lot of the stomach up in the chest, and they can be a real mechanical problem for folks, and ultimately it can be a problem that can cause the stomach to get obstructed and ultimately cause some real issues that can hurt folks and require emergency surgery. And there's a lot of that around here. In fact, we've in my former practice, and we did an incredible amount of that work, probably as much as anybody in the state.
Okay, and now let's move on to the topic of weight loss. This idea that weight is brought up and talked about. Everybody wants to lose weight. I consider myself a small fat person, or a smaller, sort of a little fat, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. I'm still less than 200 pounds, is my claim to fame. But tell me about this. People seem to struggle with weight.
Well, that's a very common thing. And again, I think it goes back to ultimately driving the train is the what we're putting in our mouth, not even as much how many calories somebody is consuming per day, although that does play a role in it, but how those things that we eat are processed by our body is really the key of what drives weight. But weight in and of itself is a marker, and really what we worry about with weight is how does that weight impact our risk for metabolic diseases, because it's the metabolic diseases that are associated with weight that really have the impact on our quality of life and the quality of our health, drive health care costs in this country. I mean, a tremendous amount of the money that we spend in the country on health care is due to these metabolic diseases. And the metabolic diseases, let me unpack that a little bit. I'm talking about predominantly diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. Those kinds of things are what I'm talking about.
All right, so you could have a doc and even that's worried about somebody's weight because their blood pressure is high. They're going to say, hey, go see John. You get somebody who's treating a diabetic who says you're overweight, go see John. And don't see me about your diabetes. Go see John about weight.
So, yeah, again, it's not the number on the scale that is really
obesity
the problem.
Obesity is the word I want to use, maybe.
Right. And even that, so when we talk about weight, we talk about, BMI. You hear that term thrown out. BMI means body mass index, which is Greek to a lot of people. But basically, it's just a matter of categorizing somebody's weight relative to their height. It has its own sort of limitations because you can be a big bodybuilder who's super lean and just really, really jacked, and have the same BMI that puts you in the category of overweight or obese because of your weight versus your height, and have the exact same BMI as another person who's a lot more fat carrying than the person who's lean. Your risk for metabolic diseases is completely different in those categories, even though you have the same BMI. So it's not perfect as a marker, but we know that as the BMI climbs in general, you see the risk for those metabolic diseases go up dramatically.
Do you have some way to empirically categorize people's diet, fitness, and exercise regimen? You need a magic number.
No, there's no. I'm not sure exactly what you would mean by empirically categorize those things, but it's when you take a step back, you got to examine every piece of that of the puzzle when it comes to somebody's metabolic health and their weight, and so. Those are two different things in some ways, but they're related because there are maybe up to 20% of people who fall into the obese category who are actually metabolically healthy, interestingly enough. And they will probably outlive me and outlive you and not really have that many problems associated with their weight. They're very healthy metabolically. And you can have somebody who is very thin who is metabolically an absolute train wreck. So it's an interesting phenomenon, but that person can have fatty liver disease that drives insulin resistance and really increases their risk of metabolic problems. So the metabolic problems and the weight problems they're related and they're all it's complex. So you got to take a step back and you got to look at what are you eating? What is your exercise pattern? Are you exercising the right? Do you even know what exercise really means? Because to some people, exercise is simply, I walk. You mean, and you ask them, you mean you walk for exercise? No, I walk at my job. Well, that's not exercise. So helping people understand, what does that mean? Helping people understand where they're getting calories that actually are completely wasted calories that are doing nothing for their body, giving their body no nutrients that they need. For some people, it's a real revelation that when you drink soda, like sugar soda, that is a wasted calorie. That is nothing. And if you cut reasons.
John Gabrielson is at the Bariatric Central Community Hospital. So folks will be able to do it. So we're going to dig into some of the different surgeries that are available and that kind of thing. But this whole conversation about being overweight and fat shaming, it seems as though we're kind of getting away from being as worried about being obese. Now, maybe that's because of these comorbidities, you know, the diabetes and high blood pressure. If you don't have them, being overweight in and of itself is not necessarily a terrible thing.
Well, I think it's a mistake to get away from worrying about weight, and because it is connected to health. Clearly, it is connected to health. I think it is a good thing to there definitely is a stigma and discrimination, right. Shaming, fat shaming, these kinds of things where we look down on people who are overweight and you know, maybe judge in our heads, and that we need to get away from. That's a bad thing. But the fact that it's impacting health and is real, and we can't get away from that and saying, well, we need to help and we need to move that person in a better direction just for their own health. But not judging and not saying, well, you're less than me or somebody else because maybe you carry more weight. I mean, that's wrong, and that's a bad thing. And so getting away from that is very good. But we can't throw out the fact that this is impacting somebody's life in a bad way.
Right. So less bias, less judging, but genuine concern about not having some sort of an ideal weight. Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. We'll find out what options are out there. I remember people used to talk about banding. I don't hear much about that. I'm not even sure if I can describe it. But, of course, bariatric surgery, bariatric bypass. Is that the right word?
For yeah, gastric bypass.
Yeah, there you go. So that's still brought up and talked about. So we're going to discuss that at about 7:42 this morning with Dr. John Gabriel from Bariatric Center of Evangelical.
News, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Again, Rob Center is our fabulous producer on the other side of the glass, taking great care of us. Deanna Hollenbach gets producer credits up at Evangelical Community Hospital, makes sure we get a chance to talk to these good docs, so we appreciate her help. And the doc that's with us now, actually, you just heard an ad about him. He's coming up on a talk with a doc scheduled in person. So we're glad that aspect of the pandemic is over. We can have these again Tuesday, January 24th, so about 2 weeks from today, at 6 p.m. at the Miller Conference Center, located in the main entrance of Evangelical Community Hospital. And going to talk about obesity and bariatric options that exist there. And we started to touch on this, so let's talk about this. Obesity is not so much a terrible factor in and of itself, but Deanna tells us heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, some cancers, and even poor mental health are associated with diabetes or with obesity. Well, let's start out with the mental health. What's a mental health aspect associated with obesity?
Well, I think the mental health aspect really is predominantly referring to depression that can go along with weight. And it goes back to some of what you and I were talking about, the stigma and bias that goes along with it. I mean, naturally, that is going to have a role in how people feel. But even the simple things, if you think of the day-to-day life, somebody who's carrying a lot of weight and is a really bigger person physically, let's say you go to Knoebels, you can't fit in some of the rides. If you stand in line for the flying turns and you got to get on the scale there because it's a weight-based ride, you might get turned away. I mean, that plays...
Or you're not even going to try.
Yeah, I mean, that plays on your mind for sure. And it's little things day to day that people who are not of that size don't think about. And
Airline seats.
Airline seats, having to ask for an extension for your seat belt, or having the person who's coming to sit next to you give you a look because they're like, oh man, I got to sit by somebody that's that big. I'm not going to be able to fit. I mean, all those things weigh on you. I guess that's a... that was not an intentional pun there.
Well, some cancers too. I don't think about obesity and cancer, but I'm overlooking something.
Absolutely. So obesity is essentially a chronic inflammatory state, because what a lot of people don't realize is fat in adipose tissue, in other words, a medical term for fat, adipose tissue is not biologically inert. It's actually something that is very metabolically active in a lot of cases. Most damaging is the fat that we carry in our bellies, or something called visceral fat. That's fat around organs, or fat in organs, or ectopic fat. Fat where it's not supposed to be, and these are very hormonally, metabolically active things, and so they make inflammatory mediators and drive inflammatory processes. And a lot of these diseases that we talked about, these metabolic diseases, inflammation plays a big role in that, and cancer is certainly one of those. So when you look at one of the benefits of weight loss surgery, You drop your overall cancer risk by about 40%, and your risk of cancer death by 40-50% in some studies, and that is very profound and a big effect.
Well, we've seen this. Bariatric surgery patients that I've known, no more diabetes, no more high blood pressure. It just goes away.
Right. And so what chance it has of going away, or we say going into remission rather than saying curing it, but the chance of any given disease going into remission depends on what the disease is. Some of them have a higher chance of that versus other diseases, and then what operation that you had, because each one of them has different effects on the gut hormones and some of the mechanisms that drive these diseases. Because it's not just about the fact that the scale is going down, it's the fact that these operations change gut hormone levels by how they rearrange the GI tract, or change the GI tract. And it's those changes in gut hormone levels that drive the improvement in these diseases, particularly diabetes. So if you do weight loss surgery on somebody, what you notice is that their improvement in diabetes will happen independent of the weight loss. So somebody comes in and they have, let's say, a gastric bypass, or really any of them, a lot of times they'll go home off medicine. Like they have surgery.
Even though they haven't dropped a pound.
They go off medicine, yeah. And they really haven't dropped a pound.
All right, well, take me to the Bariatric Center at Evangelical Community Hospital. What's first, what conversation, what treatments, what surgeries, and what follow-ups?
Sure. So what happens is you come in for an evaluation, and you meet our team. Carol is our bariatric nurse, and Dr. Motto and I are the surgeons that are working there, and you meet us, and we go into pretty much a comprehensive evaluation of where you are health-wise. And so looking at your obvious things, like, do you have diabetes, high blood pressure, and all that, but also looking at your weight loss history. What have you tried in the past? What success have you had? What failures have you had? What are you doing for exercise and activity levels? What's your sleep like? Your stress level like? What's your family history of obesity? You know, are your parents overweight or obese? Are your brothers or sisters overweight or obese? All of those types of things. You meet with our dietitian, Kim, and she will dive into what are you eating? Do you know how to identify what's good for you and what's not good for you? Because that's more, as you and I were talking offline, that's not as simple as you might think it is. So going into that is very important. And then as you go through the process, it's generally about a 6-month process, and that is in part driven by what insurance companies require in order to cover the surgery. But it's a monthly check-in, and we assess how you're doing with weight loss goals, because we'll set some weight loss goals to try to help say we'd like you to lose this amount of weight before surgery. It's not a hard stop. Like if it was easy to lose weight, they wouldn't be there. So it's not a hard stop to say, well, if you fail to do this, you can't have surgery, because that would kind of be detrimental. But we set some goals. We want to see people moving towards those goals, making the behavioral and lifestyle changes that are going to set them up for success over the long haul, because that's what we want. We don't want a short-term loss of weight and improvement in health. We want it to be a long-term deal. And so those behavioral and lifestyle changes have to go with it. And one of the things that I'm really excited about that we're developing at Evangelicals, we have partnered with the health and wellness team at the Miller Center that is our licensed health coaches, and they developed a 4-week program called 4 Weeks to Wellness that is offered to our bariatric patients. And so it's specifically for bariatric patients. You're going through with a group of people that are struggling with the same things that you are, and they are teaching you about goal setting, giving you practice with goal setting, stress management, physical activity, exercise, teaching about these things, teaching about nutrition, and it's an interactive session, and I hope will be very helpful for people and encouraging for folks, and help them again develop those habits that are going to carry them to success over the long term. And if they want to continue with the health coaching, we have the ability for them to do that on an individual basis, and we can help set that up.
Types of surgery that might be indicated. I remember we used to talk about gastric banding. You don't hear much about that anymore. Gastric bypass, you hear a lot about that.
Yeah, the gastric band kind of falls in the seemed like a good idea at the time category right now. That had a very high failure rate ultimately, so that's not done anymore. But basically, there are 4 major types of operations that are done for weight loss now. The most common one in the United States is called a sleeve gastrectomy. That's the most common one we do at Evangelical, and these all fall on a spectrum of what is the you know, what's it's kind of like good, better yet, and best. But the sleeve is good. It has a low risk profile. People generally lose about 25% to 30% of their total body weight with that operation. The gastric bypass is the second most common operation done in the United States. It's got an extensive history. It's got a very good track record. People lose about 5 percentage points more, so than that 30% to 35% category, but it comes with higher risk of things like ulcers, which can happen in 10% to 20% of people, and those can be pretty serious and cause the need for emergency surgery. You can get bowel obstructions, etc. But the weight loss is a little bit better. It's a little bit better with diabetes and that type of thing. And then you move to the biggest gun we have is called the biliopancreatic diversion with duodenal switch, total mouthful. So we just shorten that to BPD. And the BPD, folks are going to lose 40% or more of their total body weight. It is a lights-out operation when it comes to diabetes. It is very, very good, but it comes at a metabolic costs, so those or nutritional costs. So those folks have the highest rate of nutritional deficiencies, vitamin deficiencies. They have to take vitamins for the rest of their lives. We have people on vitamins for the rest of their life with all these operations, but that one in particular, you cannot have that operation and ride off into the sunset. People have to have their eyes on you to make sure you don't get into some serious health trouble. But there is a variation of that operation called it's a single anastomosis this, duodenoileostomy, another total mouthful, so we call that one the SADE. And the SADE gets pretty close to the weight loss results of the BPD and pretty close to the anti-diabetic results of the BPD, but it appears like it has a better profile with regard to the nutritional deficiencies and the vitamin deficiencies. Now, the long-term data on that is still kind of developing, but it does look very promising for as an option for certain patients.
Well, we only have a minute left. Please, just make a pitch for folks to take some of these conversations, particularly about what they eat, seriously, and then bariatric centers open for business, please.
Yeah, we are very happy to see folks and to evaluate and help them along the way, whether they have surgery or not. You know, there are certain people who we have on weight loss medications, but our team is here to help, and our dietitian Kim is excellent and can help educate folks on the what they eat and how that can impact their health in a very dramatic way. And whether you have weight loss surgery or not, we know that if you lose 10% of your total body weight, you can make dramatic improvements in your metabolic health and decrease your chance of bad things happening from those diseases we were talking about.
Well, I have 20 follow-up questions for everything you just said, so please come back. We'll have you back maybe over the summer. We'll wait a little bit and then bring you back, because I think fabulous.
I'd love to come back.
Answers.
Thank you.
Dr. John Gabrielson, Center for Bariatric Center at Evangelical Community Hospital. Again, he's going to talk with a doc, and that's an hour, so that's you can get a lot of these questions answered Tuesday, January 24th at 7 p.m. up at Evangelical Community Hospital. Thank you so much for all you're doing. You really bring a human perspective to this, and sort of really, I just want to help comprehensively, a holistic view to this, so we appreciate your
conversation. Well, thank you for having me.